Mic check, ladies and gents, this is AMD Podcast. Man, I'm really glad that we're here on a lovely Sunday. Shout out to everybody that's been tuning into the podcast, season one and season two. And, you know, when I first created this, you guys already know, it was really meant for hip-hop artists and creative folks, those who create art, all genres, you know what I'm saying? But I would say this last couple months has been taking a turn where I definitely make space for my fellow social workers, those who are advocating for mental health, my healers, because I'm really interested in the holistic approach and other alternative approaches to healing. And, you know, the podcast reflects my interest in the sense where I've been really focused on my own healing. I've been really focused on my own just breaking generational traumas and patterns in my own life. So I feel like at some point we do got to break the chain. And this next special guest right here, man, is someone that I met through the plug, Shasta Christina. This next gentleman right here has been doing some extraordinary work in the community as a sound healer. And he is a San Diego native. And he is also, his influence is also rooted in hip hop. And he's a hip hop head just like me. And I definitely want to share his story to the world, ladies and gentlemen. Without no further ado, we got Mr. John Ortiz. What up, yo?
What's going on, Marlon? This is
thanks for
sometimes coming, you know. Glad to be here in the presence of it.
Thanks for taking the time, fam.
Absolutely. It's a glorious Sunday.
Glorious Sunday.
I'll say that.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we have to actually do the interview in person because I think the energy's better rather than the phone sometimes, you know? So before we get to your journey as a sound healer, bro, I take it back to day one all the time, John.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you born and raised?
Born and raised Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, so I thought you were born and raised in SD.
Nah,
but transplant. You're actually from BK.
I'm from BK.
Wow.
I'm from the East Coast, East Side.
Yes, sir. Wow. Where in BK?
Bushwick.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're from Eddie Murphy's hood.
I'm over there. You know what I mean? Knickerbocker Ave. Yep. That's where the story starts.
This makes the interview much more interesting, the fact that you're from NY. Because yes. This whole time, dog, I thought you were born and raised out here.
Yeah.
And this makes a difference. You're from NY. Okay.
Yes, sir.
How did your parents even originate in NY? How did you guys end up in New York?
It's wild. So my father is a New York native. Mm. You know, he came with his family from Puerto Rico. Mm. So he's lived in Lower East Side, Manhattan. You know, he's in the city. Now, my mother, she came to the U.S. from Jamaica when she was 18. So she came over here, you know, in search of a bigger, better, more opportunities, you know, and for her, and definitely for her offspring. So her vision, you know, I mean, from back then, came over and, you know, did the damn thing here. And then, you know, she met up with my pops in New York. And, you know, 1988, March 16th.
You were born in 88?
1988, you hear the dragon. Yes, sir. March 16th.
You were born the same year like Daddy Kane's album first dropped.
88 was a heavy one. 88, a lot of things was going on as I've done my history.
It's like golden age of hip hop.
It's the golden
in age. In New York, honestly, in your hood.
It was there.
In your hood.
Then,
right there,
happening, and it was
Brooklyn.
Heavy. Brooklyn. Heavy. Loud noises, and, you know, and it was so much because, you know, it's the, you know, it's 88, and then came the 90s, so it's just sounds, music, and then my father's a big R&B head, my father's a big just, you know, classic records. He used to DJ.
Ah.
So he's playing vinyls, he's playing records, he's playing songs and testing me in the car every chance he gets. Like, so I was always, you know, put on
around music.
And music, and, you know, granted where I was, hip-hop was just prevalent.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You have siblings?
I do. I have one sister, 2 years younger.
They're out there in NY? She's out there in NY?
She's, we're actually in Jersey now.
She's in Jersey?
Yeah.
Cool.
So we moved from New York to Jersey, and then in 2018, I came to San Diego.
So you're, time out,
dog. I'm saying, the whole story.
So you've only been in SD for 3 years?
Just cracked 3 years. I just had my third Christmas.
Welcome, dog. Welcome to Cali, man. You're so new. You're still new. You're still new, bro.
Absolutely.
You're still new.
Absolutely. And I'm reminded as I'm, you know, still discovering places. I'm still, you know.
Welcome, dog.
People is popping. It's like, but yeah, San Diego's got a lot of pop-ups, and I've only been here for 3.
Welcome to SD. How do you like it so far?
So far, it grew on me.
Yeah.
It grew on me.
SD or Cali?
Cali.
Cali grew on you.
Cali grew on me,
but,
right?
Okay.
So for, you know, getting here, east to west, it's a whole different shift. You know what I mean? So getting over that culture shock. That was the first year, I want to say.
And I got to ask, bro. How many podcast interviews have you had since you've been here in Cali that has explained your life story? I just want to ask.
Explain my story podcast in San Diego?
Yeah.
This might be the second, if that.
Nice. Hell yeah. I'm cool.
Yeah, okay. No one's asking these kind of questions.
Yeah. Like this. Yeah. I hope you don't mind.
So respect. Nah.
Hope you don't mind. Ladies and gents, I believe that healers have a very, I don't want to say fucked up, but healers have been through some shit in order to become a healer. But we're going to get to that later. So before we even get to your thoughts in SD, bro, let's take it back to BK real quick.
BK.
When did you move out?
Out of New York?
Mm-hmm.
We moved out of New York must have been 2004, 04, 05, and we came to Jersey. Right.
So you're like 15?
Yeah.
Wow. So right you, dude, you were eastbound.
No, no, that's where I've been. And
you're
then, you know,
BK.
That's it.
All
right,
that's,
that's it. So, you know what I mean? And when we came to Jersey, that was another, you know, small shift, but, you know, it just expanded, if anything. And then from there, I started to just, you know, that was around high school, and the high school and got me into college. And from there, you know, get this, I wanted to be a veterinarian at the time. So I'm working on, you know, animals and whatnot. I just wanted to do that. And then, you know, somewhere through there, I just found, like, you know, more opportunities and, like, you know, getting into the self and, you know, speaking about my story and how I overcame, you know what I mean, how and where I come from, pretty much.
What do you remember about Brooklyn, bro? Was it a place to raise kids in the early, late 80s?
See, and that's where I start 90s? To think, because mm-hmm. I start to think from the perspective of my mother. Mm. And obviously, she made the decision for us to move out of Brooklyn. Because leave it up to me, we live in Brooklyn. I loved it. I didn't want to leave, you know?
But, it's your hood.
It's the hood, you know what I mean? It's what I knew.
It's your homies.
It's my homies. It's what I knew. And, you know, I saw a lot, but that there was more to see. So from BK, when we moved out to Jersey, we just expanded our view for the most part. But from Brooklyn, I remember just summers.
Summers was fun.
Summers were hot.
It was.
Summers were hot. You know, phones were not, and it was just super soakers. It was just like,
Tide.
It was super That's soakers. Fun, and even before that, we would just, you know, the fire hydrant, you know, let that go and just, you know, it was a culture, and it's Brooklyn, and it's love. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I just always, that's where I started, root about love and people who are around you and community. You know what I mean? Like, our block was just, you know, fun. And every summer, my titi, which is, you know, in Spanish, we call for our aunt. But she would, every summer, have the, you know, our block shut down so that we can have a block party every summer. And I'm talking like every apartment was, you know, with it. And, you know, everybody brought something and they'd be, you know, just attractions. The kids flooded the streets.
Tight.
And it's just like, you know, like we was outside.
Yeah.
I remember Brooklyn outside.
Yeah. So would you say your childhood was it fun? Was it chaos? Would you say there's turmoil? You know, would you describe the inner workings of the family?
Well, I will say, like, it was a complete, you know, family experience. Like,
nice.
Like, we've all, you know, assumed roles.
Nice.
And we've all, like, worked together to get where we are. And we're all just, at this point, you know, so much further than back then. And, you know, I think we did that. We have a lot of teamwork in our family. Like, everybody assumes a role and we know. And, you know, it's so healthy when everyone's involved.
Good.
And especially when you're, you know, thinking about leading like your own family. Like, these are the stuff I'm thinking about now. But back then, it's like, you know, we did what we had to do and we always knew to move forward. So we didn't stay in one spot. We kept, you know what I mean, went from there, we went to Jersey, which was cool. I did my high school there. And then, you know, I went to college there, which was dope. And then after I got my programming, you know, degree, then I just found yoga. You know what I mean? Yoga. Mm-hmm. Yoga came to me and it was like wild and it was not in my plans. You know, so when you say BK, when you say East Coast, for me, I go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about John Ortiz. Now, the story about John Ortiz, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was a young kid, you know.
BK,
Puerto Rican and Jamaican.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Coming through, and I had a speech impediment. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this thing where I would stutter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so communication for me was tough as mm-hmm. far as, like, navigating that. Mm-hmm. You know, and getting over that mm-hmm. was something that, you know, I got help, but I had to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. You see, it dawned on me that when I listen to music, when I listen to hip-hop specifically, I know the words, you know, I get them. And if I recite them, I don't stutter.
Yeah, there ain't no speech impediment when you're spitting these bars.
So in my head, you know, I'm like, you know, 10 or 11, I'm like, hold up. Well, if I can just construct my conversations in like a verse form or like I'm memorizing a song.
That's fucking crazy.
I don't stutter. So when I say hip hop saved my life.
Wow, bro.
Speech? We're talking about John Ortiz. East Coast. And that lends me to come out here and, you know, pursue this healing, you know, initiative where, you know, I'm using the voice and I'm showing others to use their voice too, and tone and frequency, and, you know, conveying what you need so that you can get what you need, you know. So being direct, because I believe the universe is a menu, not just any menu, a menu in a diner with those like small prints and just a lot of options. Like, you can be overwhelmed by it, or can just, you know, read. Mm-hmm. You could just go through and then see something you like, request it, and it will be brought to you.
Mm. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So you moved from BK to Jersey.
Yep.
And you finished high school there. Was it tough adjusting, dog, to a brand new hood, brand new high school, brand new surroundings? It's, you know,
yeah.
We were all 15 ones.
Yeah, and you know
that
what?
It can't be easy.
It ain't, but at the same time, we all went through it where, you know, if you've ever, some people are privileged to go to the same school the whole time, well, 4 years. Usually mine was broken up. So when I came from New York to New Jersey, that was definitely a culture shift because I went from the sophomore to a junior.
Out there.
And it's like, all right, I'm an upperclassman, but I just got here. But I'm from New York, and it's like, so it's like, all right. And I only got 1 year, because after that is senior year, and I'm out of here. 06, we out this bitch. That was our class. So it's like, all right, and I'm in vet care. So it's like, okay, I wanted to be a veterinarian at the time. So, you know, I'm pursuing all these things, but at the same time, identity, which we go through in, you know, high school, and, you know, what we want to do, what we think we want to do in the future, you know, and how hard we hit the books, but how much we also entertain and, you know, have fun. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. So it's like, you know, that navigation at 15, you know, is always like, you know, tricky.
So John, mom and dad stayed together, not a divorced family. They stayed together. Nice. So you're from an intact, close-knit family.
And that's what I say about teamwork, because mm-hmm. it's like the fact that we're all together, that is close-knit, is because we're together.
That's beautiful.
And it's like, and I've come to realize how important that is to just at least have everybody together. It's when it splits apart, that's where it's like, you know, and we went through our, you know, like phases, and we grew as a family, and we're still together today, and that's all I'm thankful for.
That's touching, you know, bro, because at the end of the day, ladies and gents, that's all that counts.
Family,
it counts a lot.
It counts a lot.
And counts a lot.
You know what? I want to say it counts more.
Counts a lot.
Like when you move. Like when you go
counts
away.
Counts a lot when you move away.
Then it's like,
you missed your presence, and you realize that you do need your presence. So let's talk about So which one did you discover first? Your love to become a vet or being a yoga teacher?
The vet was, it was an aspiration. It was something I really, you know, wanted to do. When I'm asked, what did you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like the only thing I can do where I wouldn't be lied to or be tricky is if I work with animals. Because they don't lie. They'll tell you exactly what it is. So I was going in that path. That was the mindset. But the yoga teacher came by accident, honestly. Like, it was not in the plans. Again, I had a speech impediment. So speaking aloud as a career was never something in my mind. So it's like, it just became apparent to me. Like, oh, you could, you know, be a yoga teacher and bring people together, you know, and that is, you know, that can serve you more than you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What is it about yoga that attracted you to doing yoga? And how old were you when you first got introduced to it?
It's so funny now, because now when I think about when I got into yoga, I mean, when I got into... So I started with martial arts. I did karate. I did Shotokan and Taekwondo. That was like when I was like 9 and 13. So I've always liked the discipline, you know, art form. But yoga came to me. Yoga came to me after college. You know, when I graduated and I couldn't find a job in my field and I was trying to make things happen. So I would go to the gym, you know what I mean? And that was where that's what I knew, the gym.
And what was your major, fam? What college did you go to?
I went to Bloomfield College.
And what did you major in there?
Video game programming.
Okay, dope. And
yeah.
And after that, you're like, fuck, what am I?
Was like, because you got to, you know, have experience to get a job and that whole thing. So while you navigate that coming straight out of college, you got to work. So for me, bartending, I'm taking insane amount of yoga classes to keep my sanity. And then, you know, I'm also like stilling more. I'm also like, you know, keeping the body sharp and, you know, navigating this as things become apparent. And then yoga just came easy to me, you know. Never really I liked any like sports really came to me. The only sport I ever did was gymnastics, and that was back in New York, and that was the only sport that really called to me. So for me, I've always liked the flexibility, the movement, and the disciplined art form, and yoga just had a balance of both that I felt was just, you know, it would keep me entertained and I wouldn't ever be bored.
So at first you were doing it, and at what point did you start teaching yoga?
So what had happened was I started just taking yoga, right? I actually showed up, right? It wasn't like I was going to, no, there was yoga class in the back of the gym and I actually walked back there and took it.
Yeah.
I was dumb enough to do it.
Yeah.
And then I kept going back and I stayed. So when I started teaching yoga, it wasn't until maybe 4 years later, maybe. And that was also by coincidence because I loved being a student so much. So I never wanted to teach. I just wanted to just do yoga. And it wasn't until, a teacher, she reached out and she told me, I think you should teach yoga. I told her no. I'm like, nah, I just want to be a student. Like, it's so much fun being a student. And she, you know, she found that funny and that's cool. And then, you know, another like year later, she's like, all right, I think you really need to teach yoga. And I'm like, nah, this is so much fun just being a student.
You're like,
yeah. Like, this is it. And then she's, you know, so this is in New Jersey now. And then the next time she's like, all right, I signed you up for the interest meeting. You can take your name off if you want, but I signed you up. Now, I'm not going to be rude, so I didn't take my name off. I actually went to the interest meeting, and I sat down, and I heard
it. And you heard it out, yeah.
And I heard it out, and I...
You gave it a shot.
I gave it a blanket mind. I just let it, and I just added something unpredictable to my, you know, arsenal.
Yeah, and she must have saw something in you, though, that was like, hey, I think you should teach it, you know?
You know, and... you know, obviously at the time, not many men are doing yoga. For a male to even, like, you know, be in there. But
no doubt.
Now to lead the charge, it's like, now we're talking about something else.
Yo,
so
for real,
maybe it was a little bit of that vision and, you know, just chance that I was there at the right time. Because they had just opened up the yoga studio in New Jersey. So what I did was, you know, I just worked there 4 hours a week for unlimited yoga classes.
Tight.
And I went bonkers. I took 4 years of just yoga and worked there in service. And obviously, I stayed there more than 4 hours because I was there so much.
You were teaching and taking classes.
Well, at the time, I was just taking classes.
Yeah.
And it was then that she was like, all right. And then I started teaching classes.
That's right. Fucking tight.
It happened. I mean, and it's, you know, it wasn't in my plans. It wasn't in my cards. I had this vision for life or what it was going to be. And... I like this vision more, the one I'm in now. Saying that to say that there is like a grand design for us if we allow it. And yoga teaching, leading people, getting people to do handstands was never something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in my cards, but I love it. Yeah. I love this. And I'm like, I didn't see this movie, but I'm glad I'm watching this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's been like. That's what it's been like, especially out here too, you know, expanding.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's go back a little bit to the speech impediment, right?
Yeah.
What was the first song you realized that you memorized? That you're like, oh shit, when I spit this, I don't stutter.
First record, it was on my N64 Walkman. It was a cassette tape, and it was Mace.
Which song?
I'll tell you right now. 24 Hours to Live.
Oh.
I'll even now, look for my dad that I never knew and show him how I look with my Beretta too.
I do good shit like take kids from the ghetto, show them what they could have if they never settle. Take every white kid from high class level, show them what Chris is like growing up in the ghetto. Teach how to spend, stack the rest, something, something, stocks, invest. And give blunts to the brothers under massive stress, and hope Harlem will blow up my last request.
Yep.
If I had 24 hours to kick the bucket, fuck it, I'd probably have some fried chicken and drink a Nantucket and go get a job from Branson and make sure I leave the mother the money to take care of grandson.
Yeah, 24 hours to live.
24 left before my death. I'm gonna waste a lot of life, but I'm gonna cherish every breath. I know exactly where I'm going, but I'm gonna send you there first. And the shit that I be doing,
I'm gonna send you there worse. Like, you gotta understand, I was in the middle of it. You got Queens, DMX barking, but Mace. Look, for some reason, not only was the lyrical, but it was the lingo.
And he was surprising me. Like, that album right there, he definitely had the radio records that we all knew.
Right.
But the hard records with like that, with DMX, with Busta Rhymes, Brothers Wanna Act. Why you really want to hurt, Mace? Do you really want to make me cry?
Like Mace was a slick talker, and he had hard records.
Like, he's from the cloth of Big L, man.
And that was what got me. I'm like,
Harlem, Cam. He's from that cloth, like that wit.
That wit, that at Harlem. That
Harlem
talk,
shit.
That slick talk. And it's like.
It's different from Brooklyn.
It's different.
But no, Brooklyn's dope too, don't get me wrong. Absolutely. Brooklyn is a different arsenal of MCs.
Yeah, but Harlem. Like,
funny and.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah, BK is like.
BK cats are like witty too, like.
Yep.
Witty clown. They'll clown your ass.
Yeah, they'll, you know, it's fun. It's a party, you know what I mean? We're Brooklyn at. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
So you were realizing when you were rhyming along Mace, you didn't have the speech or the stutter.
Well, here's the thing, because Mace, the way he rapped, he rapped like I talk in my head.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, you know what? I was like, and then I would, okay, so I would hear the record in the car, because obviously, and I got it in my head, I'm saying it. And then when I would say it out loud, I'm like, the more you treat me, rule you, I adore you. That's why I don't mind doing these things for you. I did things for me, you wouldn't believe you did. That's why I always want to keep you here. It's simple. He doesn't really, you know, in the year two, girl, I can see you with my... He talked, like, so that talk, I wanted to adopt. And I accidentally adopted it, and I put the two together, and I'm like...
Now, what the hell is you looking for? Can like, a young man get money anymore? Let my pants sag down to the floor. Does it really matter as long as his score?
Yeah.
Can I have a car that looks better than yours? Can I have a bad bitch without no drawing?
He had like endless lines, endless lines, and it sounded like talk. And that was it for me. And I'm like, all right. And then I put the two together. I realized, all right, so just speak in a cadence. And that's what I learned about. That's why I first thought about breathing. Because I'm like, all right, when you actually try to do a verse and it's like, do you have enough breath? That's where I learned about speech and like, taking time and allowing the breath to carry the words, and then from that you can kind of like slang it. And that's like hip hop. I love that part. You know what I mean? I went to college. I did spoken word. You know, I performed at the New Eurekan. Like, you know, that, you know, speech, that poet, that slam, that resonation of words and vibrations, and when it lands and it hits and it reverberates.
You're a trip, son.
That's the thing that tripped me out. So I'm like, oh, it's the best kept secret. I gotta tell everybody.
So you started seeing like, yo, when I spit hip hop verses, it's helping my speech. It's helping me, my breathing control. It's helping my,
Yeah, and it's impacting it. And it's like, well, if I can do that, just apply it to this. And after that, like Jay-Z said, it becomes an exercise, you know, lyrical exercise. Yeah. Then, you know what I mean? And as I went through and, you know, hip-hop.
Go ahead.
But hip-hop allowed me to connect with friends, people, and all that. And then, you know, when I got into their artists and all that, and, you know, hip-hop just got deep for me. So it's like, yeah, it showed it.
I gotta ask, growing up in BK,
yeah,
who are the MCs you saw around the way? Did you ever see these guys around? Talib, Mos, Fabulous.
You know what?
May have been too young for Biggie, but...
Yeah, he was outside. I was, you know, inside, because... You know, we was with the family and everybody was like constrict to a block. We ain't cross the street. But once we could and we went outside, that'd be like public events, like the Puerto Rican Today Parade, West Indian
Day
Parade.
You would see people out there.
I seen Fat Joe.
Nice.
I seen Big Pun.
Nice.
Passing on the Float.
Dude.
My favorite rapper. Let's start there. Greatest rapper to me to ever do it, if you ask me, Christopher Reels.
Dead in the middle of that.
Dead in the middle of Little Italy. Like, I mean.
What?
I mean.
What?
I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
If you really think about it, like, I hear a lot of Eminem in him. I hear a lot of Big Pun in Eminem.
And that's what I loved about Eminem. Because I think the greatest one living is Eminem.
And we got to keep it real. That all stems from the Kool G Rap family tree.
Oh, yeah.
There wouldn't be a Big Pun if there wasn't a G Rap.
Nah.
Okay? I think G Rap is criminally underrated. I know we always...
Listen.
And like, that's from the G Rap family tree right there,
yeah,
boy.
You got to go all Woo! The way and make sure, because these bars, like these trees...
Their bars are crazy. Like, and nah, G Rap birthed Nas, that Nas style.
And,
like,
yeah, and it's all... And the lyrical, you know, onslaught in it. It is an onslaught because Pun was an onslaught. Eminem is a... But for me, if I want to tell someone to, like, see, like, one of the, like, first fertile grounds of hip-hop, the symphony.
That beat's still banging now.
Listen, that thing slapped today.
That beat's still banging now.
So this is, like... So think in high school, right? Honestly, we get our new computer. I start downloading music. I get through that. I start making CDs for the church because my mother, obviously, we was going to church and the pastor would want some records.
BK,
so,
man,
you know,
yeah,
man, did man. That. So, you know, I would hook the pastor up with a couple CDs, Kirk Franklin's. But, you know, for my own CD, I make little hip hop mixers. You know, I had Marley Marl. You know, I had Method Man.
You know
I got
how
the Wu-Tang.
You know how we do
you
it.
You know, I got like records and I would put them on again and again on these CDRs, even because it was like packs of 50s. Mm-hmm. But that's where we practice and I make my own playlist and listen to that. And I'm practicing the speech and I'm mixing it up. And, you know, hip hop was just spinning inside me. And it almost, you know, unraveled the speech entanglements.
Tight.
You know what I mean?
Tight. Did you fuck with Bone Thugs growing up in BK?
Yeah, no, Bone Thugs, like, because you figure.
Because that will help that shit too, speed it up.
Oh, yeah. Speed rap. But Busta Rhymes, you know what I mean?
Like Twista was doing it.
Like they comes to, you know, hip hop just went so deep for me, and then I saw higher techniques, speed rapping, and you know, just you know, triple entendres, just techniques, and it's like it's all with speech and the breath, and you know, hip hop, that art form, it's like it was so accessible to me that I was like, oh, when I did that, I felt invisible, I couldn't be, and then I just applied it, and it worked, it crossed over,
no doubt. So. Your major was video programming.
Video game programming. Yep.
And you were kind of like thinking, maybe this is not for me.
Well, I was still looking for it, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I was in, like, yoga just showed up to me.
Yeah, you had,
like,
you,
it was there.
Something else attracted
you. Know what
you.
I mean? And then what was funny is that...
Yoga pulled you away. Not pulled you away, but...
No, well, here's the thing. Yoga pulled me through.
Yeah, yeah.
To be specific, because once I started doing teacher training, that's when I got my job working at Microsoft.
Mm.
See, I came over here working with Microsoft doing gaming
tournaments. So that's how you got here.
That's how I got here. So I did my, you know, the video games, I did it. I went through there, but while I was there... Yoga kept me, like, sorry to say, but yoga kept me grounded so that I didn't get, you know, lost in, like, you know, the company or the name or the work. You know, I was able to do something for myself and I had made a solid foundation.
Good shit.
And I was working at the same time as I was doing yoga, as I was bartending. And it sounds crazy, but I did that and I ran that life. And then I used that momentum to propel me to the East Coast, to the West Coast, San Diego. And that allowed me to, you know, open
so
up.
It was a job opportunity that got you here.
Well, I was working with Microsoft in East Coast anyway. Uh-huh. So I just took a transfer opportunity.
Oh, okay, dope.
Yeah, so
I'm here.
Yeah, so I made it happen. I made a transfer opportunity. And
that's your full time right now.
Well, that was the full time. Mm-hmm. I left that to pursue the yoga, the healing, right before the quarantine hit.
The sound healing.
Which, in an essence, worked out because now with everything changing, it's more personal practice and it's outside. Now I just get direct, you know what I mean? And people are getting direct healings and they're having direct breakthroughs. And, you know, and it's crazy because it's all those, like, you know, seedings that, like, yoga studios offered, you know, that's where I was teaching at, you know? But, you know, with the, you know, change in the world and now people... You know, people are available when they are, and for privilege, I'm able to meet them halfway.
Mm. And let me ask you this: what year did you come out here?
2018, September 2018. Mm-hmm.
So there was an opportunity to come out, and you're like, fuck it, I'm down.
Well, here's the thing. I bet on myself. I was like, I knew what was happening in front of me.
Good shit, bro.
I knew what was happening with yoga, and I was just so, I trusted it so much. And I had purchased these singing bowls, and I knew that if I can make it here, theoretically, I should be able to make it anywhere.
Right.
So I tried it, you know?
Right.
I gave it a test, and I came out here, and the first year, tough.
Right, right, right.
Tough.
Right.
Second year, not as tough. Third year, got it right.
What was one of the toughest things you've experienced in San Diego, like when you first came out here? And I get it, dog. I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I've been here for 11 years. I get it.
Right.
It can be daunting in the beginning.
The toughest thing was, might have been probably the beginning. Just because I was still getting my like my car transferred here, so just traveling out here without a car is not really existent. You know what I mean? It was like tricky. So that might have been like the toughest thing, just like navigating and you know, getting to places and knowing places. Because with the car, you know, you're able to go to these places and see them. But there was more to see, and once I got my car, it made it so much more accessible.
Nice.
So once that was working, that made sense. But when it was when my car was out, it's just not a place to, you know, find what you need. You know, it was just tough timing and everything. So
for sure. So to all those listening, man, let's break it down. What exactly is sound healing?
Sound healing is the recognition of the signature of health that we all have, right? Mm. So picture like a health bar. Mm. Got a health bar, and it doesn't really go down, but it goes like maybe like from green to red.
Mm.
And green being it's balanced, red being it's too far left or right.
Mm.
And our thing is that we don't want to be at the top or bottom. We just want to be in the middle. We want to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, with traffic, Wi-Fi, TV, whatever, we just become unbalanced. We get ups and downs. We get depressed. We get mad. We go through these things, but we just want to remain in the middle. So with sound healing, it's the concept of sound frequency that allows us to go back to that balanced state and allow us to remain more in our own frequency. That's where our power lives. So the longer that we're there, the better. And the less that we're taken away from that, you know, is more, you know, and we learn as we, you know, go back and forth. But the main thing is just to remain centered. So for me, with sound healing, it cued me because, again, Mace, hip hop, that's how I got over my stuttering, you know. The fact that sound can trigger something in the brain.
Amen.
Music is one of the only things that the whole brain lights up.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, and we only know how much of the brain? Very little, you know? So it's like, there are these, you know, triggers that can, you know, allow the brain to relax and rest and recover.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes throughout the body. And I fell in love with that. And with sound healing, the first sound that I heard, it sounded familiar. And I'm like, so I just follow the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's me young, just walking through it. I hear the sound at the end of my teacher training. And I'm like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to follow that. So I went ahead and I got my first singing bowl, which is this one here. This is the crown chakra. So the very top of your head.
Right.
You know.
So what do you do with this when you do the sound healing?
With this, you would do a strike. This is a mallet. And with an upward strike, the sound is released. As you can hear, it travels. Further and further and further and further.
And what is your client doing while you're doing this? Are they laying down?
They're laying down.
Okay.
So they're in a you know, completely comfortable, relaxed position.
Okay.
Laying down, and then the sounds would be played around them, and it would induce a sleep.
Are you asking them any questions? Should they be talking, or should they just be laying down there?
Well, they're laying down, and pretty much they're breathing.
Okay.
Like, they've got their hands full breathing because I'm directing the breathing. And, you know, because the breathing is what allows the sound to enter. So not only is it just, you know, the sound and you take it, you actually have to breathe and allow the sound to enter and then allow it to resonate so that the body can copy. And every cell is tuning to this frequency. So think of like a car that's firing on all pistons. Everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody rests.
How long is a session?
Typically, a session is 35 to 55 minutes.
Wow.
Anywhere between there.
Mm-hmm. And you're working with this?
Yeah, I'm working with this, and not only am I doing the striking, I'm also doing what's called singing. Mm. So what I do, instead of striking it, I spin the mallet on the edge.
That sounds crazy, huh? And
stretch the song of the frequency.
Can you guys hear that?
And as I go around.
Whoa!
And allow the sound to, again, spread. And the breathing is influenced. Goes into the cells, the brain, the body. You know, and everybody is on the same page. Mm. But there's power in the rest. And that's what blew my mind. I was always, we got to work. We got to, you know, go in the gym. We got to push ups. You know what I mean? But there's power in resting.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? So that the body can recover and then you can go back at it.
Oh, yes.
And for me, and this is hip hop, my first instance of it goes back to Cartoon Network, Toonami. Because Dragon Ball Z, when that came in, listen, you couldn't find me. I was 4:30, you know, because then if it was on, it was on. You know what I mean? And they would show the episodes and it was back to back. And then I'm watching Dragon Ball Z and the hyperbolic time chamber.
Let me ask you this. What do you think are the benefits of sound healing? If someone does it on a regular basis, maybe 2 to 3 times a week,
yeah.
What are the benefits that they can start noticing?
They can definitely notice awareness. And it sounds like, a huge, like, blanket statement. But for the most part, when you're able to really get into the frequency, your other senses are heightened. Simple as that. And not only that, but also your balance is set so that you can almost see things coming. At least you can always, you know, be good with more. You can make more sound decisions. That's what I've found with it, you know.
You can see things coming from a mile away more. You can, like,
yeah.
You can see the play.
You can see the play, or you can almost, you know, it just gives you more sense.
Yeah.
It gives you more sense.
Awareness.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. And I try to keep it as simple as possible because, you know, we can go into the nitty, but it's awareness. And your sight, your smell. And for me, I wear glasses, so sight was never one of my strongest things. But I've learned that because my sight, my other senses are heightened. So the ear was always lent to me. Hip-hop, mace, so you, ear. So, you know, with that, I always paid attention to it. And this sound grabbed my ear and I followed it.
Do you think that if it helps humans develop more awareness, do you think that they can be extra hypersensitive to things? Do you think that they can start taking, not hypersensitive, but they feel more. Everything's heightened.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that can be a benefit or it can be a little tough?
Well, here's the thing. It's all like, you know, it's not easy to navigate. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing is that you're going to go through it anyway. So it's like giving yourself, you know, taking it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really allowing yourself to just be with the elements, because the theory is that, you know, things are being told to us. We are getting messages. And if we stop and listen, you know, and sound healing is something that allows us to really stop, pause, and, you know, think about right now, not so much the next move, you know.
While they're laying down there and you're making the sounds,
yep.
Is there anything you ask the client to reflect on?
I do, because...
What should they be thinking while they're laying down?
Yeah, so with memory and with, like, you started off with, like, childhood stories, obviously these are the things that make us up. This is our DNA.
Oh, yeah, man.
So once we go back there and we, like, speak on it and we, like, untangle old knots, it's freeing, and that's where the healing comes through. Because that knot from way back when is in the way. So, you know, allowing us to, and even go through the senses, you know, like, you know, what is it, like, when you said Brooklyn, you know, it's a scent to me, what it was like. And I remember hearing the ice cream truck and just loud, you know, and music passing. And I remember the music of the time. And I remember, you know
very well.
Like it's just, it gets, it's elevating, you know what I mean? And the messages, hip hop was a message.
Amen.
And it's like the message, when you embody it, you know,
This is great. I would love this, man. This is great.
Bro,
content,
like, this is, you know, man.
It's great content.
And this is what hip hop does.
You get to connect with people. Like, we're saying the same Mace verse from 1998 when I was in seventh grade. And we still remember it. I am now 36 years old. Hey, dog, at the end of the day, fam, there's certain verses you're always going to remember and you're never going to forget it.
Right.
Because that's how much it meant. And you connected with them so much. And by the way, I think Mace is highly underrated. I think his legacy is underrated too. Like,
No, you gotta put more respect on Mace. Because he did a lot at his time.
Yo,
his album did a lot. Like, he
built Bad Boy after Biggie.
Come on.
Fuck what you heard.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? He kept that label up after Biggie passed.
Mace was present.
And I know he went back to becoming a pastor, but who cares? Who cares about all that? I'm talking about his accomplishment as an MC, what his effect was. You know, Kanye West says that's his favorite rapper. That says a lot. That's easy. Yeezy's saying Mace is his favorite rapper.
Yeah, well, Mace, you know, obviously hit a lot of us. Because if you was listening, you was paying attention. Because Mace was, you know, dropping jewels.
And for all the NY heads, you guys already know, you know. Like, Children of the Corn with Cameron and Bloodshed and Come Big on. L. It's like, when you hear a young Mace pre-Bad Boy, it was like an angry Mace. Like, Bad Boy toned him down, but you can still hear so much Harlem in that flow.
Nah, yeah, he
could still rhyme his ass off, man.
Yeah, he couldn't hide it. It was so Harlem.
And
honestly,
bro,
when they came through and then, you know, Kane, you got Dipset, like, it was just a bunch of slick talking, and I just couldn't. I'm like listening, and I'm like, I really mean it.
I gotta ask, you're a Mace fan.
Talk to me.
Bro, when he dissed Cameron on the Oracle,
which was, you see, and so hip hop.
I was like, it just woke up hip hop real quick to remind you, man, of the caliber.
That's it. Yep.
Jacked Jigga's beat. He jacked Jay-Z's beat too. And ripped it too into pieces. Harlem style, no?
Yeah. Nah, he came through. Because if you're going to do it.
Oh, he embarrassed Cameron. He took an L. He got to take that L. It's okay. We all take an L sometimes. Yeah. But Mace got him on that one, dog.
Yeah, he might have surprise attacked him.
Oh, my God. Yes. And I heard Cameron's response. I'm sorry. I wasn't impressed. You just didn't attack it like Mace. I'm sorry, you know?
That surprise attack.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? But, you know,
you just didn't attack it like Mace.
You know, beef and rap, like, you know, I was so entertained by it, you know, and it saved us,
you know? Back to BK. All right, top three BK MCs growing up. It's okay to state the obvious.
Okay, can we just do top three MCs? Because I got top three MCs. Then
do it. But I gotta ask about BK in particular, because that's the hood. That's your hood.
That's it.
That came from your city, man. Yeah, because there's a lot. There's a lot of incredible MCs. Let me ask you something, dog.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Think of, ponder on that. Top three BK MCs, and I'm gonna ask you something after that.
Notorious.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
I mean.
I think I know who you're going to say for number two, and that's all right.
What do you think I'm going with it?
Jay-Z, of course.
I mean, like, he's there.
Yeah.
He's there because
he's got to be at least in the top three BK MCs. And we can't forget Daddy Kane. All right, there's already Daddy Kane.
Lest we forget.
You know?
Yeah, Nah, Hov came through.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's after everything. After Biggie and Pop died, someone had to become a superstar next. And it was him.
You know, but think about that class.
It was a tie between him and Nas. Like, someone had to step up and become a superstar after Biggie and Pop died.
But, I mean, it was just the clash of the titans. Like, Petty, Kittis was just, you know, hip-hop was in a good place. And then, you know, it went on, and it's like,
check it out. As much as I love Nas, and as much as I think he is the greatest in so many ways.
The greatest?
I think Nas is one of the greatest.
For sure.
I do think that of course, I felt like Nas was born with that talent. Jay-Z, however, felt like had to work hard at it, really hard, to get really good, and he was more consistent. And eventually, in a lot of ways, he surpassed Nas in a lot of ways, you know? Like, Nas will always be that classic, but Jay-Z was someone who got better, if that makes sense.
You know what?
You feel me?
I hear you on that.
Nas will always be that perfect classic MC, but Jay-Z was someone that we saw grow.
Into
something great. And that says a lot.
Continue to grow.
That says a lot.
I definitely say the...
got better and better and better.
The best to do it rapping is Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Like, he did it, you know.
Between Eminem, Jay-Z, or Nas, which one do you think is killing it now?
You said on the mic. You said M, J, Nas?
Yeah. Because I really think it's up to them. It's up to them three right now.
Yeah, you know what?
To really become who's the greatest alive. Okay? Alive. It's really between them three. And I would put Kanye as the fourth, but I've been disappointed the last couple albums.
Okay.
But
I'm not mad at that. Is that the same way that you're not putting Lil Wayne up there too?
I just feel like Lil Wayne hasn't been too consistent these past decades.
So for me, his last few works haven't been, but Carter 3, like... Wayne.
Yeah, he was
at a time. You know what I mean? He had a run.
He was in his peak.
But I can't argue with that.
He was in his bag. Yeah.
M, Nas. I think Hov is doing it because he, like lyrically, you said.
You think lyrically he's the one that's still sharpest out of those three?
Lyrically?
Like, we're talking about just strictly skill as an MC. Yeah. Who is still killing it between those three? And I judge it off their last albums, okay? Oh, so
then I gotta,
I'm going to judge it off Eminem's last album, Nas' last, and Jay-Z's last. I don't count that Beyonce shit.
Yeah.
I'm only counting the 444 shit.
Right. And you don't put in, and you don't say Kanye because...
And life is... King's Disease. We're going to put King's Disease, Nas, and Eminem's last album, which was The Murder, Music to Murder, Music to be Murdered By.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'd say Nas has been the sharpest during these last couple of releases.
Nas has been the sharpest. You know what? You might be right, because...
Although I think 444 was great, I wasn't impressed with the production, bro. I don't know.
I wasn't looking at the production, but I was listening, and I did like what I heard.
Yeah.
He got straight to the point, and that's what Jay does. He doesn't really play with you too much. It's like, you know, here you go. It's the message. Now get out of here. Scram.
It was billionaire talk, billionaire wisdom that us middle class America.
Right. Like, okay, got it. We'll keep that in mind. All right, hope.
Yeah, cool. We're not there yet. You got there, but we're not there yet.
But you know, piece of work he did that. But then I go to like Magna Carta, Holy Grail.
Let me ask you something, dog. In Brooklyn,
yeah.
Why is it that there's that Uncle Murda, Fabulous kind of vibe? But then there's also that Mos Def and Talib kind of vibe. Sky Zoo. Yeah. There's two types of Brooklyn rappers, man.
And that's what gangster shit. That's what so love about BK.
Because
Fab.
And he's lyrical, by the way. Fab's the mad lyrical.
Oh, absolutely. And he's been lyrical for some time now. Let's be real.
Since day one.
You know what? Let's go back. 2001 or 2. I go into FYE. The first CD I cop. My Own Money. Ghetto Fabulous. Y'all know. Keeping it gangsta. Come through. Keeping it gangsta.
Is that the one with Tamia?
Yep. So when you okay. Listen, and that's it. Come on, man. I don't want to trip a crew fizz.
Call me. I don't do this.
Jagged Edge was on it.
Already do this. Call me.
Was he lyrical, but it was a complete project. Like, the album was like full. It was like 18 tracks. I'm so good,
like a phenomenon. Yeah, like, come on. Dude, that beat was
can't
crazy,
deny it.
Dude.
Nate Dogg on the hook. Like, come on. Yeah, so Ghetto Fabulous, first cop.
In my hood. What you think of 50 when he first came out in the hype in NY?
And that's why I said...
That was an era, bro. No, that was a whole different timeless shit.
You had to beat it. The year was 2003. The year
50 was on some
2003.
Other shit.
I'm still in New York. Right? I go to the worst high school in my district only because the one I wanted to go to didn't accept me. And it was just by numbers thing. So I went to my geographic, which turned out to be a bad one. 50 came out. Yeah. I walked through the halls of Evander Child High School. And I had 50 in my earphones, and he just made it all right. You know what I mean? Like 2003, because I had that on my left, and then I have clips grinding. Like lunchrooms was never the same. Never the same. Them whole
Oh shit!
Come on, like
even LL Cool J was freestyling on that shit.
Like that, raised me. Like 5, 4, 3, 2 plays the hot chiz at.
Sound like heaven.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 Come on,
Matical, come and get some. Play my position. Hot next sun, next one. Fire sick with confliction. Poison this dark sickening. What?
Like and meth? Like come on.
And yo, I put it on the. Shit it on.
Turn a Christian into a certified sinner. Like, you can't have red man
stay
on
stay out the dark. Down, run a clown. I'm a bomb that.
I'm gonna dare. Like, this is like.
See that? I'm gonna finish you, dog. Believe that.
This is battle on wax. He said, because you asked for it, baby.
And yo, that's the first time I heard DMX. When the video came out, bro. When the video came out, this was the I mean, we
he
all
had the vest, the bubble vest.
We all knew who Cannabis was. Cannabis came out before him. Mm-hmm. And Cannabis had a dope verse. But when DMX came on, the voice was just different. Like, we're like, whoa, what the fuck?
And that's what kills me, because DMX out of Queens, and I had, like, my older cousin had them.
Stay out the door. Because
when I catch you when the sun is down, what type of, like, he's threatening people over records.
Stay out the door, yeah. He said, you're the clown.
Whatever's going to do, it's going to be that. See that?
I'm going to finish you, dog, really.
Like, his cadence was, like, too sickening, but they messed up and had LL at the end.
I think Al killed it.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, he killed it just because he came, he finished the record off.
And at the time, I think LL had to prove a point. I think he had to let people know that he can hang with the new generation of MCs, which was DMX and Cannabis at the time.
Nah, yeah, he did come
and
through.
And even Red and Meth. Red and Meth had to prove a point, too.
Oh, Red like, and Meth had to be, yeah, they came through and they had
Red
to.
Red and Meth has been, like, consistent, man.
But LL Cool J came through and, you know, singing some flies of battling flows, Tibble Shorty with the big mouth, the thing's closed. And directly at a person on the record. It's like,
it was, like, so hip-hop.
It was so hip-hop.
It was so... It was
so
like...
hip-hop.
It was so competitive.
Yeah.
It was mad bars.
And he had the bubble vest, and he just... He said, this symbol on my... transformed to a time bomb. You don't want to borrow that. You want to idolize. And you don't want to make me mad.
You don't want to socialize. Oh. And I'm tearing every MC in the game. So to play my position and then holler my name.
LL.
I'll make a rhyme for every syllable in your name.
Yep. He said, clown you for every time
for
you
grab me ass on the train.
Watch your mouth. Don't ever step out of line.
LL Cool J, brother. Greatest of all time. Oh, dude.
I can't tell you how many CDs I had that burnt onto again and again. Hip hop.
And I think Cannabis. Cannabis tried. You know, it was a good battle. Cannabis got him too. But at the end of the day, I think LL was just too powerful.
Well, here's the thing,
But Cannabis got him too, though.
No,
man.
He did. Second round knockout.
I'm not going to front.
Second
Cannabis
round knockout.
Got him.
Yeah,
yo.
He was.
LL. I love you, LL. I love you. Nah, but Cannabis got you on that one.
Nah, he responded. But
He responded with the Ripper Strikes Back.
Yeah.
He got him too.
But you got to. But I mean.
But. At first, I was concerned. I was like, oh, shit. I think you met your match, LL.
Second round knockout sounded vicious. Yeah. He came through. It sounded scary. But then LL just put all
this
that
a perfect. Bed. This is a perfect segue, guys. 2008
is a good year.
2009, mm-hmm. I opened for Cannabis in L.A. Right? So I opened for Cannabis in L.A. at a spot called Leonardo's.
Okay.
I see him with a couple of girls, and Cannabis. By the way, Cannabis, when you hear this, man, I'm a big fan. Cannabis came on stage and was playing his whole set off an iPod. I was hoping he would have a DJ or anything, but Cannabis was just playing his set off his iPod, controlling his own iPod while he's rapping. I was like, dang, you couldn't, I was just like, I was tripping out, and I'm a fan. And there's a lot of forgotten legendary MCs, you know. Mm. Let me ask you this, bro. Back to Sound Healing.
Yeah.
How has 2020 affected your business or you, bro, as a healer? How have you been dealing with this?
2020 was obviously a major impact on everyone, everything, and Sound Healing was part of that, you know, and just my pursuit of it and how to administer this, you know, healing, and how do I get the message out? Because now, you know, yoga studios are closed, and that's where I meet these people. That's where I, you know, provide. So with that out of the picture, you know, that led me to really stop, look around, and see what I had in my immediate vicinity, and how can I, you know, get the practice to work here within my own space. And, you know, having an outside climate as San Diego, California, because I'm not used to this, but it is conducive to healing. And it's, you know, these afternoons, I'm able to set a space. And that is what, that's been the response to good 2020.
Stuff. Good
and,
stuff,
and it's something that can't be overstated, but people are, you know, having breakthroughs, you know, where we're getting to the root. And, you know, and that's where the healing comes from. So 2020 impacted it, but it only made it more direct. You nice. Know?
So back to 2020. I know right now it's 2021, ladies and gents, and let's talk about 2020. As a healer, with the pandemic, everything shut down. I know it's almost been a year, bro.
Mm-hmm.
How did it affect your sanity or your mental health, man? How have you been trying to decompress from all this, bro? And I know we're getting used to all this now.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
We're getting used to how life is.
Mm-hmm.
And how have you been dealing with this, bro? As a man, as a business owner, as a friend.
I've been dealing. I've been, you know, really getting into the concept of what is reality and what it is right now, and that, no, I can't, you know, go back home. I couldn't go back home and see my family for, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, that's out the window. You know, a lot more video interactions. It's, you know, it's different. You know, it's less motion. I'm not walking as much. We aren't walking as much. People are sitting, and, you know, it feels almost claustrophobic. So dealing with that is, from an anxiety standpoint, because that's where the, you know, speech impediment was from too. So allowing, you know, sound to really meet me where we're at, and then, you know, spread the message. It's, you know, it's the response to it. And yeah. If it wasn't enough, I mean, then, you know, we got protests in June. So all of a sudden now it's like, you know, we're watching it, you know, and racism is right in front of us again. And, you know, I'm not surprised, but at this point it's in your face. And, you know, it's and this is what's happening. And this is what's happening to, you know, people that look like, you know, me. And it's like people that look like us are hurting. And it just really put a microscope on what am I going to do about it while I'm here. And it's going to be to, you know, we need healing. You
Amen.
Know, it needs to like happen like yesterday.
Where does America start? Where do we start to heal? How? And I know that Biden and Ms. Kamala Harris cannot change us all in one term.
Right.
There's a lot of recovering that we got to take out of this, man. And what do we do? Do we need to have more dialogue? Which may trigger more emotions.
Yeah.
But maybe it's needed.
Yeah.
You know? We gotta get to the root, bro.
Yeah.
Not the top of the cake. No. The root.
Yeah, we gotta get there. Because we've been hitting that top of the cake. And which, it's been showing up again. And it's like, I'm tired of, you know, back and forth. You know, going over and over with it again. It just, you know, let's get to it. It's been too long. Like, why are we still having these?
Fam. Because it's rooted since our forefathers came here.
And I'm like, we didn't address it since then?
Back in like the 1500s, from the time the slavery started.
Right.
From the time the forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence till Abraham Lincoln. When I think about it, Malcolm and Martin wasn't even that long ago.
No.
We act like that was... No, it's not. It was not that long ago, dog.
No.
America is kind of like going at this again. Because I think it was a wound that was never healed.
It has to be. Well, it's evident now.
There's hatred in people's hearts that still comes out.
And it was exposed last year. So dealing with that...
I can go on these.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But dealing with that as a black man and just, you know, staying with the work, but also doing you know, being active, you know, sending the message and making sure that we know this is important and we need to get through this. But I found also a love in the work I do, because this is what I've been, this is it. It just now the curtain came off and it's like, this is what we're staring at, our own wounds, and we got to heal from this. But here's the thing, we can heal. That is where we should be focused on, and we can. And, you know, you asked where you start. I think Michael Jackson said it. You got to look in the mirror. Everyone has to look in the mirror.
Ladies and gents, this is where we can break the chain. Okay? I do believe that racism and hatred has been passed on from generation and generation, from years and years and years.
Which is wild.
It was taught. It was taught, okay? Especially in the South, okay? To all those tuning in, I need you guys to watch Amend Fight for America, the one that Will Smith is hosting, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a harsh reality of what we went through with the Civil Rights Movement, to, from Frederick Douglass to Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, everything that the... Our fellow black brothers and sisters had to fight with. Me being Filipino, connected, like, I'm connected with the Hispanics so much because we're all immigrants. We all immigrated from a country. We've all been part of the country for a while. And we're not exempt from racism, man. We can be next. As a matter of fact, Asians are being targeted right now as we speak. There's old ladies and senior citizens getting pushed into the railroad tracks, getting jumped, getting their faces slashed, okay? We are getting attacked as we speak right now, okay? And I'm sorry, man. I get so worked up about, like, I just feel like nobody's safe.
It's not.
No one feels safe. Nobody feels safe in America right now.
Which is wild because, you know, it's supposed to be the land of the free, right?
And it ain't.
And all that. And, you know, how many times, you know, in school did we stand up for that anthem?
Because we're equal, right? We're supposed to be equal,
right?
You feel me?
And even that, you know, saying the, you know, Pledge of Allegiance. And then when I started to get older and I started to just not say it. And then eventually when I didn't stand, and I'm like, and I started looking at those words that I've been saying or listening to, and I'm like, wait, hold up. Something isn't adding up. And when I got the first chance to make an impact on or change, I said I would. So I think 9-year-old John Ortiz from New York could see me. He'd be like, yeah. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. You know, we need more healers. You know,
we need more healers. You know what I'm saying? We need to figure out what's triggering us, what's pissing us off, where's the hate coming from? Repressed hate that you may take out on the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Let me ask you this, dog. What has 2020 taught you? What have you learned about yourself? Like, do you feel like, man, I'm strong. I know how to be alone. Like, what have you been learning? Or what are the shortcomings that you think you've been having? Because I got mine, bro. Like, yeah. I got my shortcomings.
Listen, there's a whole thing that we learn about, you know, where we're adept and where we're, you know, where we have our shortcomings. But for me, what I learned is how self-sufficient I can be.
Yeah.
And how, you know,
when it comes down to it,
other things that I thought I need, or to go here or meet this or do this there, or let me, you know, pack up all these singing bowls and put them in my car and go all the way over here and play it at this studio so people can get there and drive it all back. Like, all that. No, you can just build it and they will come, and just affect your neighborhood, your community, right here, and let that spread. And that's what it forced. We were all inside our houses in tiny boxes, and we were forced to go to the screen and deal with it as things are being shown and protests and, you know, just, you know, plights going across the screen, and we're living in our own. And the response to it is a lot of people found mindfulness. A lot of people closed their eyes and saw something else than what they didn't like seeing with eyes open. And they were there until they were able to show what they needed. And it was, you know, it was poetic. You know? Like, but it took that, which is wild.
I think everybody had to sit down.
And that's what I'm saying. Everyone's got to sit down. Everyone's got to look in the mirror. We were forced, we got sneak attack last year.
We got our asses
like
sat down. We got our asses sat down. Mm-hmm. And I think it forces people, especially, not only we had to sit down, everything was closed.
That too. So it's like we
you really had to face yourself.
Yeah. Face yourself and get creative.
We had to face ourselves.
Right. And really,
we had to see what we didn't like.
That too. Because that led to the things that we do. And it's like, all right, and we saw some of our gifts and stuff we didn't know. And it's like, oh, I can do this from here. I can do this like this. And it, like, we're still here.
Check it out, ladies and gents. I can only imagine how it was to be single during these times. All right? But I can also imagine how it is to be in a fucked up relationship during these times.
And you know what?
And I think it was revealed in the forefront, man. Like,
yeah, it was all on display. And you know what? That's exactly what led to the practice last year. Because all I saw last year was people who were either breaking up or getting married. And it's like, it's just so, it was these two extremes. So what I felt was that if I can get, you know, these, because, you know, one person is great, but two people, they're just limitless. So I started just having, you know, couples allowing to do sound healing together.
Nice.
And people who know each other, who love each other, and using that to kind of bridge and put sound in the middle of that. So that lent to that at the same time, you know, so that we have some type of, you know, accessibility, you know, some things that we can use to keep the family healthy, you know.
So you joined the frat with a Filipino cat?
Yeah, I joined a frat with a Filipino cat. It was a Latino fraternity, Lambda Sigma Upsilon. And, you know, me and this Filipino cat pledged together. Yeah. And, you know, we made it through. And, you know, we developed a brother bond through it.
Dope.
And he was a music head. He was a music major. So I'm video game programming, but he's doing music. So we're in the same building. You know, he's on another floor, but we connected. And we both, kind of like we met right now, we got this thing for hip hop. So
hip hop heads.
So this guy, Pat, you know, he really loved, you know, just music, and he can make beats, and he's like a karaoke, you know. He was like, this man is musical, Filipino cat, and you know, he can make any beat. So he knew what I liked, and you know, he would make these like arrangements, like Lupe Fiasco and strings, and just beats, you know, with hip hop. When you hear a good beat that inspires the flow, got that from a Filipino cat.
Nice.
Name
nice
is Pat. Patrick.
Nice.
Yeah.
What up, Pat? If you're listening,
yeah,
we're gonna send this episode to you.
Shout out to Pat. Absolutely.
Ladies and gents, during our commercial break, our little segment break, I got a chance to actually like build with John and play him some songs from the album. And we were just talking about ways about how breathing control can be better and how we can pronunciate words more. Yeah. And I'm really glad that I connected with the homie, because like a hip hop head that also is in tune with healing and in tune with that we need healing. Let me ask you this, bro. Coming from NY, Jamaican family,
yep,
you know, black man living in America, what's the future of the United States for our kids, for our future kids? Like, what's our... Because before we got interrupted by this guy from the back, that's right. We were talking about what needs to be healed, you know?
Right.
And it starts from the very beginnings, from the time our forefathers came. And I feel like in 2021, it's the time to really break the chain, you know? As the older heads... Believe it or not, as the older heads pass away and perish away, their old ways of thinking, I hope it goes away with them, and I hope they didn't pass it down to anyone more younger. Mm. You know, the goal is to kill that way of thinking.
Yeah, kill that noise.
It's not even the way we should kill. It's like we're not even trying to kill each other, but you gotta kill that way of thinking.
No,
you know,
trying to kill all that noise, because that's all is noise. And
you gotta kill that shit.
Yeah, because it's noise, and it's in a way, and it's unorganized, and it's not it. And you know what? To bring it back to sound. Sound is one line. It's clear. It's healthy. It's flow. But noise is disorganized. It's, you know, erratic. It's chaos, you know? And we need to kill that noise. And it's been a lot of noise where, you know, people are, you know, targeted. Like, who gives you the right to target me? You know what I mean? Target us, target my brother, like, or my son. So when you ask, like, what is it, what does healing look like in America going forward with the kids? That's my question. I've been asking them. That. It starts with them. Like I'm saying, it's them. We got to talk to them.
The future is with them.
It's them.
Because we are going to get older in our 30s. We are going to get older. And it's really with them.
Well, the fact that they're the ones that's really going through it. Like, we're living it. But they're, you know, going to grow up from it. And, you know.
Oh, man.
And we're going to see those effects in, you know, man. 7, 10 years and 15. And we'll talk about that 1 year that, you know, everything flipped.
You know what I mean? To all my parents out there.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to all the parents. Shout out to all my educators.
Yeah.
All right. I know that things have been difficult. It's not easy.
Yeah.
All right?
It's been...
Our kids on the spectrum of autism, I know that I know people regress. I know a lot of our kids regressed because of what's happening, you know? And I know that this has affected the country in that level, bro. So that sucks, man.
That's hard. And that's what gets me. And that's why,
it's fucked up, man.
I teach my virtual class in Newark, New Jersey, 3 times a week. See, that's one of the beautiful things that happened because of 2020. You know, awesome. When I moved out here, I couldn't do that live anymore. But then since everything went inside and virtual, they reached out and said, hey, you're in San Diego. Would you like to? And I said, absolutely. I will be thrilled.
Let's do it.
And 3 times a week, I see 15 to 20 fifth graders, sixth graders.
In Jersey.
In New Jersey. So I still connect and Zoom, and they see me and they see my weather and I see their weather and we talk about it. And, you know, I see what's going on in their little boxes of screens. I see the family going on behind them, but I see the kid looking at me and closing his eyes and listening to what I'm saying and breathing and saying that he used to have pain and he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, mad props to you, John. Bro, how does it feel to be living in your purpose? How does it feel to be doing this kind of work, man? You must... I'm not sure how much you hear it, brother, but I hope you're proud of yourself. I hope that your loved ones are proud of you because you're doing a lot of things that you're doing. You're healing people, man, and you're helping people out overcome a lot of trauma and a lot of pain in their lives, bro. So you should be proud of yourself. How does it feel for you?
It feels different.
Mm-hmm.
It feels different to living your purpose.
Mm.
And
how? In what way?
In what way versus when I used to, work for a company or used to clock in or used to, work. You know what I mean? Now I'm doing something that's purpose, something that I found myself. It's not like I went to college and there was it was like, oh, do you want to be an alternative, medicine, sound healing? It wasn't an option when they told me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I learned about it and then... There was no blueprint for this. So it's like, I believed in it and I believe that this is what needed to be done. And, it was on time because it turned out we needed it. And everything that we did before was training for this. I believe that. So it's like, we were just training for, we were built to survive this because this is going to take us there. You know what I mean? And not everyone has made it. So it's like, to do that, and it's been my purpose. It's just relaxed that I've never felt before, and it's different. And that's how I know it's right.
God bless.
It's different. I used to get tired clocking in. I remember that, and working and
feeling like the day's dragging.
Going into the place and the days and
not looking forward to going.
Yeah, I remember that, and this feels different. Yeah. And that's how I know it's right. That's how I know it's
Much
right.
Love.
And I've been, and I rest on that, and I share. Because you can get this too.
Yo, man. Before we end, we got to do a hip-hop trivia real quick. Hip-hop questionnaire.
Okay.
Because,
First of all, before we go into it, I shortchanged you earlier. You said top three BK MCs.
Yeah.
Notorious, Hov, Mos Def.
Ha ha.
Round it out.
All right. Where do you put Fabulous and Mos Def? Would they be after? Who would be after that if you had to pick like a top four, top five? Would it be Fabulous, Talib Kweli next, Big Daddy Kane, ODB, GZA? They're all from Brooklyn too, you know what I'm saying?
Me? Yeah.
AZ? AZ's from Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's so much, and that's how the hierarchy goes, but if I'm going after Fab...
Because Fab gotta be somehow...
No, Fab is there, but...
He made some noise,
but
bro.
Here's the thing, yeah. I got Mos Def, Fab, Talib.
Nah. Yeah.
That's how it goes for me.
Yeah. Dope.
That's how it goes for me.
Dope.
First glance.
Good shit.
Yeah.
All right, Little Kim or Foxy?
You doing this to me right now? You talking then or now?
Shit, of all time, their legacy in general, like. And when they ask these questions, man, I'm talking strictly lyrical MC
and that's
skills.
Where I'm at. That's what I'm at. And I'm
has
going through it.
Has nothing to do with fame. No. Has nothing to do with who was more famous. No, I'm talking about who can rhyme.
No, we're like, talking about, yeah.
That's all I care about, like, yeah. Who can rhyme. Foxy or Lil' Kim? That's a hard one, too, because you
that's
know why?
One. That's a good one.
Yeah. It was two different styles.
Yeah.
That both worked. Like, I love Foxy's style, but...
Mm-hmm. But you said lyrical.
I mean, and just because, or just a no, but overall, who was a great MC? And that means who makes better music. Who made great music? Because it gotta be a whole package, fam. It gotta be a whole. It can't just be, you know, Cannabis is a sick MC.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
But not enough classic albums
that's
to say.
Enough. That's not enough to put them up there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. Who so was gotta, great? Who gotta, was a great MC?
You gotta give me Kim then.
Ah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I really.
And
I
a
really,
lot of ways I agree too.
I really Kim. Bang with Foxy. Like I like she had and she gave us that other spin on it. And then when E jumped in the ring, like trust me, I got a ring. But Kim, like next to Big, like. Some of the flow was bleeding through, like when she
her
said,
delivery was crazy.
Oh, you want to rumble with the beehive?
Bzz.
Throw a heck for
the whole family.
Dressing all black like the
Omen.
I'm like, come on. I Kim on
for
the
making
mic.
Brother so sick.
Come on.
German Ruger for your ass, bitch. Deep throated. Oh my.
Come on. Like that. Like that's oh man.
All the bullshit you kick, play hitting on the sideline.
Get your own shit.
Why you riding mine? I'm a good fella kind of lady. Stash the 80s and the Mercedes. Puffy hold me down, baby. Only female in my crew. And I kick shit like a brother do. Nigga, fuck you. A bin hat skills, Chris.
And then Big right after you? Come on. No. Lyric on the mic.
A bin hat skills. Crystal spills. Hide bills in Brazil.
That flow is forbidden.
About to grill an ice grill.
That flow is forbidden.
Make it hard to figure me. Look at me kicking like, me in my undercover Donnie Brasco. Laugh the East Coast girls, the badly twirl. The East Mawasco shorty. Push the chrome 740. Rock a rad man and naughty. All in the kitty cat. Had to break a date.
In a bra where titties at.
Damn, living that. Love, let me push weight. After
stay. Don't tempt
Francis,
me.
To bring your mantis. Oh attack with the map.
Like, yeah.
Grip on the whip for a smooth getaway or my level spray. Squeeze off till I'm empty. Don't tempt me. The hell to where I sat the all about the Benjis. What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, bad boy in general, but give me Kim. I mean, she played the cards and she had her time and ran. And there was some juggernauts up there. Holy. All right.
Let's go to, all right, Tribe or De La Soul?
Tribe.
Woo!
Tribe.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Busta Rhymes or DMX?
DMX. And I be the best.
Hey, what you think of Busta's last album?
Next Level.
Woo!
Like, it's like
yo,
the
last album was bananas.
Busta,
shit was hard, son.
But it might just been, but DMX hit me so hard, I'm like, this man just was yelling.
Hey, it's like this.
You know what I mean? And he had the pit bull. Come on. Like, I'm like...
I was really surprised. Not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I was really glad that Busta came back. Not that I don't think he can't come back. I always thought Busta was sick. Never stopped being sick. But I was just glad he came back with an album. Like,
yeah,
like it was much needed, man.
Yeah,
it
that's
was,
where I'm at. Because
it was highly weighted. Like,
he did it for hip-hop. And whew, he was, did it again. And it was like, you know...
Busta says Busta.
Listen. What it is right now. What it is right now. You know what I mean? So it's like, he's been supplying, you know, he's been telling us a long time.
You know who I want something new from? It's time for a Ludacris album, dog.
Luda?
Yeah, man. It's been a while, man.
Luda album?
It's been a minute, dog.
So
we
said,
need one,
so you're telling him to step down from Hollywood, give us an... Okay, I got you.
I think so.
Give us another... Get in the studio. Okay. You know what? Here's the thing. After, like, Chicken and Beer, like, I'm like... After the mixtapes, back to the... Like, this man is so lyrically sound. Like, I don't question him, but we could use... Well, you want an album or a mixtape?
Yeah, I want an album from Luda. And when you say step down from the acting, I mean, you're right. He's killing it.
No, he's killing it. And I know it pays.
But...
But...
I think he needs to do one more before it gets you know, people are getting older, dog. We need a little more before it gets too late. Like, mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying is, I was feeling Nas' last album, King's Disease. All right, I'm gonna be honest, dog. Hit Boy made Nas like sound 2020.
Hit Boy.
He gave him the now feel.
He supplied. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love what Primo and Pete Rock can do and Q-Tip can do.
Right.
But it's time for some new blood to like lace him, you know?
Yep. I could bangs with that.
But yeah, what do you think of, all right, so let's see. Production. All right, Pete Rock or Primo?
Pete Rock.
Woo! All right, Pete Rock or RZA? Boy, watch out. Yeah, that's what I thought. Because the first set of solo albums from Wu-Tang, like that, like for the group album, then the solo sets from Wu-Tang.
Yeah, RZA wants to drop something. Yeah.
Timbo or Pharrell?
That's not fair. That's not a fair question, though. How you doing? We talking beats?
Hell like, yeah. Timbo,
come on. Like,
but Pharrell got some shit too.
No, Terrell's got...
Pharrell got some shit.
Pharrell has a bag.
Got some
full,
shit.
A bag full of tricks. But Timbo?
A lot. So does Timbo, though.
No, Timbo has...
But Pharrell got a lot, too, though.
No, Pharrell got plenty.
Pharrell got a lot.
Yeah, he got a lot.
And I also feel like Pharrell...
Wait, Timbo over... Wait.
I feel like Pharrell has been a little bit more consistent, too, lately.
This past decade.
I'm just talking about this past decade.
Oh, yeah. Pharrell's been out the most more. Recent. Yeah, Pharrell obviously has had the recent, for sure. And okay. Driving.
Let's take it back to the West Coast. Alright, Ice Cube or Snoop? And that's kind of, I don't know what to ask. Ice Cube or Snoop?
Yeah, give me Snoop.
Alright. Corrupt or Daz?
Corrupt.
Ah, nice. The Game or Corrupt?
The Game.
E-40 or Too Short?
That's not fair. But I gotta I gotta go with Short, dog.
Okay. DJ Quick or Dre on the beats?
Dre.
You know what's crazy when they ask that question?
Yeah.
I love how people take their time with that one.
Yeah.
Because you would think people will off the bat will go, Dre, nah, dude. It takes a while. People really gotta like take.
You gotta breathe. You definitely have to breathe.
Because DJ Quick is not to be fucked with, yo.
Yeah, don't do that.
Alright. Let me see. All right, Jay-Z, Nas.
Jay-Z.
Why is that?
When I factor in all of it.
Yeah.
When I factor in all of it, longevity, rhyme, albums, just waves, peaks, whole continues to just keep spinning it, and I still don't know who that guy is. Like, he just keeps... telling us another part and, you know, doing this now. And I know it's something maybe I don't relate to right now, but it's like with those sites. And for me, when you like hit me, like, you know what I mean? And I'm hip hop, so certain verses I just can't get over. But that What We Do, that Jay-Z verse, like, I mean, Hov never slacking, man. Sipping on the black range, faster than a bear, ghost, sipping ghost attack, man. Hey. One time, you know, I got a knack to get that change.
Leader of the black gang, ROC, man.
Bang like T-Mac, ski mask, air it out. Gotta kill witnesses, cause freeze beer sticking out. Y'all don't wanna witness things. We squeeze hammers, man. Bullets breeze by you. Like, bullets breeze by you. Like, the triple B's. But I got a feed Tiana, man. So I move keys. You can call me the piano man. Rain, sleep,
snowman,
slang, bang, hot. Yeah, so Hov got too many of those stashed away
for
that you forget about.
For
where I'm like, I'm really upset with him. I'm really upset
it's
with
him. It's about the performance of in the verse, you know, like.
And I'm taking all that. He's out there like, dancing in the booth. Like, I can't, like.
Yeah, he's you know sick what I mean? With it, dog.
Yeah,
I mean. And Eminem got a lot of those too, bro.
No,
Eminem got a lot.
Yeah, Eminem got a lot of.
This is how I see it. Mm-hmm. The first three albums from Eminem, forget it.
Bro. Oh, no, it's no conversation.
Like, that's when he really became a legend. Just the first three albums off alone.
To come up.
That was crazy.
To come up a legend off the three, yeah. Yeah, but he came through and,
his impact was crazy.
But his team, I mean, he had Dre in his ear. Like, they said he gonna do it, and he said Slim Shady.
And here's the impact of the West Coast, for real, though. For real. Here's the impact of the West Coast. it took a West Coast label to blow up someone like 50 who really came from New York.
But here's the thing, though.
Like, he blew up in the West first.
And which is crazy.
Got picked up in the West
first. You got the noise in the West, but you out here, like, that 50 effect, it's
and
like...
And guess what? Dre made him sound West Coast.
A Dre beat is like, yeah.
The album kind of sounded West Coast.
Honestly, yeah, there was...
I mean, there's a lot of NY sounding shit, too. But... It had a West Coast twang to it.
Nah, when you know? The, listen, 21
it
questions.
It was mixed down different, bro.
Like Nate Dogg on the hook? Come on, dog. You catering to everybody.
That first album, though, of 50, oh, man.
It
just seems like there hasn't been anyone that big since Snoop or Eminem. It was like,
yeah.
And it was crazy off of the Dre camp, too. Snoop, Dre. I mean, 50, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's that, you know what I mean?
That,
so
that lineup of that.
That tree. That tree, like, and
big stars,
hip-hop, dude. It's like, you love to see it, you know what I mean? Because they pick them, and Dre said, first of all, Dre said, express yourself, I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and I'm staying in correctional facilities, like, and then he went ahead and said, all right, Snoop, you up, and he said, all right, you up next, and just, you know what I mean, and when they, and then M went to, got 50, like, when M, and then when they both came through, and came at a label, Murder Inc. Like, come on. Like, it was so hip hop. It was so hip hop. And this boy, Eminem, I've never seen so many tricks in a bag from this kid, like on the mic. And it comes from that battle because I can smell it, I can hear it.
From Eminem's voice and Eminem's delivery.
And his career from battle. He came from that battle. And it's like, you hear it, and it's like, it's the rap is.
You know what's really cool about artists like Eminem and Kanye?
Yeah, the artists.
When we talk about growth and when we talk about evolution, when Kanye and Eminem first came out, right? Their first album, you can totally hear the underground in them. Like, you know, it was like the last of the last. Like, you can hear the underground in them so much. First especially album. Kanye, like the beats.
Yeah. Well, Kanye, because... They weren't trying to hear Kanye, but he was still rapping, and he said, "Y'all got these bars," and nobody believed him.
All right, between Conway the Machine, Griselda, Conway, Benny the Butcher, and West Side Gun, who are you feeling the most? Order it from top one, top two, top three.
I feel Conway.
Yeah.
When he speaks, I'm like, okay, got my ear.
Dope. And who you think, West Side Gun or Benny the Butcher next, after Conway?
Benny.
Yeah,
man. I'm like, and for me, this is what New York sounds like now. And I'm like, okay.
Time.
And I've heard New York, and I'm hearing it now. And I'm like, and I hear it, and the growth, and the, you know, you can hear the bars, and you can hear it. And
it's the brand new NY. It's the new NY,
and it's different than what. And I'm like, and I've seen it, and I'm like,
I like it though.
I'm not mad at it. I like it.
It's totally the descendants of Wu-Tang, you know.
Yeah.
It's totally from that cloth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That is, and it's all good. Like,
it's all good.
It's that's you know what mean? Happens.
And that's Wu-Tang.
That's what. See the influence of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
That's like straight from the line of Ghost and Ray, dog.
I mean, come on now. Like them early 90s.
That shit.
It's
like the locks. Straight up like the product of
like
the locks.
Dumb Boys. Like, yeah, it was bars was everywhere. Yep.
NY had spitters, man. It was like the land of the spitters. Like,
yeah, that's accurate. You know?
And, LL needs to get his props too. LL don't get the respect,
for sure,
yo.
For sure. One rapper that I still think never got his respect, but just was doing so much.
Who?
In the city. Papoose.
Oh yeah, he gets his props. He gets his love.
I mean, he gets it, but it's like when he was doing it was retarded. It was ridiculous.
I do think though that the Remy Ma situation and Love and Hip Hop definitely boosted his fame.
I mean,
which is good. I'm not hating, which is good.
Yeah.
But real Papoose fans know, before all this Love and Hip Hop stuff, we've been riding with him.
No, real Papoose fans are still mad because I wasn't listening then.
We've been riding with him.
Alphabetical Slaughter. Then. Like these mixtapes.
Right, we've been riding with him before the Remy Ma stuff, right?
way before. Like,
that gave him a different level of fame. But before all that fame, on the underground level, we've been fucking with Papoose.
You know what I mean?
And we know him as Papoose, by the way.
No
Remy Ma's husband type. Nah,
that's Trigger Happy Pappy. Like, you had to listen to the mixtapes. And you know what I mean? And that whole time, but like you said, it was the land of spitters. So it's like, but he was spitting just as hard.
Yo, man, I'm not gonna lie. Jim Jones is rapping his ass off, you know. I know a lot of people are like, "What? What do you mean?" Like, nah, for real. He's been really the last couple of albums. I was like, "Whoa, he got fired." The beats got fired.
But Jim always had that, like,
Harlem talk too.
Yeah, like he can always, you know, and it's like, damn, and it's like it's
Cameron's baby brother.
You got Joel Santana. You got like Cam. So it's from that. You know what I mean?
He's from that mace cloth. Don't get it twisted, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
he's from that mace cloth.
He's got that talk, but his competition is like all giants. And Jim Jones be having waves. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? So you got to put his name, you know,
all right,
at a time too.
Meek Mill or Drake?
Drake, only because the artist is superior
to
the rapper. And I feel like Meek Mill is the rapper. Drake is a fucking pen artist.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense to some of the stuff he be trying. And he be swishing. But, yeah.
So, yo, man, before we end the interview, man, I just want to end this off with, what would be your top three tips for those who are trying to find their purpose and those who are trying to take a risk and live the life that they were meant to live and find their purpose, pursue their calling? What's your advice for them?
Advice to finding your purpose, if you're in search, first acknowledging that you are in a search of more, and that hunger for more, that hunger for the soul or something that fulfills you, you're on the path. So know that you're already on the path if you're asking that question. Second thing is to believe and you know, trust that you have all the tools around you, you know, to get to where you want to get to, if it's for you. You know, it's all about how you resonate and where you are, and, you know, recognize where you not are. And if you're in an environment that is not conducive to what you are seeking, you know, start seeking, you know, outside of that, and just, you know, allowing that. And, you know, faith is a big thing. One thing I said is that I feel like the reason why I've been successful is the fact that I've been guided. And the fact that I feel like, you know, I've got support of, you know, the universe just telling me where to go. Because how else did I get here? Because this was not in my plans. And it's like, and it's working here. So I can only thank the man above. I can only thank, you know, my parents. I can only thank my family and my friends who grew up with me and, you know, told me the things I needed to hear. And then I learned about the people that, you know, I didn't take with me. All those things led me here. So it's like, what a happy, just catastrophe.
Any tips for the healers out there? Those who are in the path of healing or those who are currently going through?
Well,
start healing themselves.
Yeah, well, the first is that the fact that, you know, healing can be what it means to you. And like we've talked in this, I mean, we went from hip hop to Dragon Ball Z. These are all the things that I grew up that made me smile, that made me stop stuttering or forget about the speech impediment. And that turned out to be, you know, the blueprint to the healing. So really, you know, call back to your history and what got you here and using those things to resonate with people, because we all have, you know, some way that we've navigated. So, you know, resting on our experience, you know, we've been trained for this.
And how can people find you if they want services for sound healing? How can they contact you through Instagram or email or Instagram?
Instagram is going to be probably the fastest because...
I'm going to plug that, ladies and gentlemen, in the bio.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just getting in for like slots. If you are local in San Diego, and I also do remote sessions as well digitally as the sound goes. But all that can be found on my IG, which is john.victorious.
Nice. Yo, man. John, it's been a pleasure, bro. Thank you for taking the time. And ladies and gents, this is AMD Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Brooklyn, Oxnard in the house, hip hop.
One love.
I love how we evolve into, I love how hip hop heads evolve man.
Yeah, we did.
It's a big part of the culture is evolving into hip-hop. Like, what we learned from hip-hop, it's time for us to, like, pass that on or utilize it. Use it for something good. And that's what this brother did, man. And makes me proud. I'm inspired. One love, ladies and gents. Peace.
Peace.